Imagine, if you will, a Nazi-like people with today's technology, making hiding behind walls or basements impossible. Heat signatures and GPS tracking giving you away. Imagine their morality so extreme that only the eyes of their women are seen. Picture facial recognition software, part of their master plan to hide your women from you. You have seen the future. You have entered the reality zone. The signpost just up ahead. You're listening to WhiteHorse-Radio.com.
Christians can see it coming. We're not blind to the fact what is happening in our world and how it's approaching. We're not to be ignorant of the days or the hour that we're in. But the purpose is to bring as many to the foot of the cross as we possibly can. And so I don't think the ministers I've been to actually understand that concept. I don't think they understand what God is trying to do here. He's trying to bring everybody to the foot of the cross because we know that's the only way that we can get into heaven. We're in the last days. We're in the last hours of time. And God has put these crop circles out in England for what reason? Well, so that we can just ignore them and not pay any attention to what they say or to what they do. And, you know, that we can go on our lives and live our lives because, well, let's face it, God wouldn't want to open up his word to the world because, well, if he would have done that, the Catholic Church would have come out and read the word to everybody and everybody would have known the word and everybody would have had Bible studies. Well, obviously God doesn't want the word to be in anybody's life, so he hides it from everyone and keeps it away from everyone so that he can allow people to go to hell because God doesn't like people. Well, that's the impression I'm getting from people who just ignore what's being done here. I'm getting the idea that you've all converted to Catholicism and you just don't want to let people know what the Word of God says. You don't want to open up the Word of God. You don't want to reveal the Word of God. You don't want to set anybody free. You see, there are two towers. There are two horns, big horns. And we know that the lesson of first things, right? The kingdom of Babel was the first kingdom after the first flood. Babel, B-A-B-E-L, my initials coincidentally fall into that. We've had two towers come down, and my initials seem to be the same as that. Now, just that's a coinkydink, I'm sure. And then we've got the fact that, the five in my life that just follow me around, the fives. And I've never broken the fifth commandment. Like, last episode I did, which was Here's Looking at You, I explained that about the fives, and we know who's on B-A-B-L, you drop the B, it's A-B-E-L, the law of first things, first casualty war, last casualty war. The enemy couldn't respect the offering, he didn't respect the offering, or the person who gave the offering, but God had respect for his offering. And we know that God's not a respecter of persons. Well, he was a respecter of Abel, and that's what got him killed. He respected the offering that Abel offered up, and he got killed. So the enemy wants to come back, and the enemy wants to rule in his 7 years. Well, hey, fair is fair, right? If he gets to get another body and rule for 7 years, well, I at least want to, see what I can do to bring in the harvest for Father. You know, God sends you me in to do what? To bring in the harvest, right? We use one man to do both jobs. That way there you can be certain of who I am. Don't be disappointed that God doesn't have a great plan. He does have a great plan. It's send Abel back to do the job, to bring it in and give him the glory. Because if it's God who's doing it. See, I don't go around giving saints the glory. I don't go around giving Mary the glory. I go around giving Jesus the glory. Jesus is the only one who does the work, who does the job. He's the only one who paid the price for my sins. He's the only one who suffered and died on the cross. He's the only one who came to point me to the Father. It was him. And the religious people want you to look at everything else but him. Man-made doctrines, man-made laws. And this one here is called not shaken or stirred. And I did it because, my mysteries unlocked on the right-hand side. I've been having this solid thing because it's a picture that was done at Yale University. And if you look at that picture compared to every other picture that's been taken at Yale University at the Skull and Bones, this picture here, These men are clean and crisp and organized. Every other photograph prior to this photograph was kind of disheveled. You know, they just kind of put the tall, short. They mixed them in. They didn't line them up. They put them in nice positions. It wasn't a nice picture. This is really a superb picture. Every other photograph of the Skull and Bones groups wasn't as sharp and as crisp and as clear as this. Why is this one crisper and clearer than every other, in knowing that it's a theological seminary? And I just, you know, and I don't back off anything that I said concerning this photograph. The message is clear. I don't care how many pictures they put out there, and it's always 15 men. It's always the two hands of the clock at 8 o'clock. This is a seminary. Bible is a mandatory subject for them. And so I don't back down from what I said. I know that George Bush is standing there. George Bush Sr. is standing there by the grandfather clock. We know the grandson is George Bush, Herbert Walker Bush. George Walker Bush, right? GW Jr., who was the last president of the United States before Rome put their man in office. This is 1947. After this photograph is taken, the CIA pops up and starts tapping people on the shoulders at Yale University, recruiting them for their little, you know, spy network. And the fact remains is that it doesn't change the fact that Rothschild banking system is the banking system in which Rome put their money into. And how did Rothschild get his money? He got his money by lying and spying, using network spies, going into territories and finding out who was winning the battle or who, you know. But if you can create the war and then you can service the war and send them and sell them bombs, then, wow, it's you who's, you know, you actually create the war and you sell the weapons to the people that you created the war with. And then you call our children up, our children, to fight the ones you trained and taught to use weapons, and now you're profiting in the war machine. That talk about a diabolical, ridiculous, dark, dark group of people. But Rome has been putting their money into the Rothschilds banking system from 1823 since. And they don't care how it's invested or how it's going. They just want to make sure that they're eating three meals a day. There's a lot of mouths to feed up there. That's a lot of mouths to feed. That conclave is pretty big. And when you put them in, they've got to have their steaks and, you know, whatever their dietary thing is. And they, you know, eat. Fasting has gone out a long time ago. They're all kind of a little pork. They may add up to a lot, but they don't add up to what these people need to ingest and eat. And it's a lot of like a movie that was out that was called The Last Emperor of China. If you want to know what the Vatican is like, you just got to watch The Last Emperor of China. And they fear communism, but they don't fear Chinese communism, because Chinese communism allows them to operate above ground while the Protestants are underground. And understand that the Protestants love America. They love their country. They love the Word of God. They love Jesus Christ. They know the truth. Well, some of them do anyway. Some of your ministers have signed an affidavit, some sort of a document that forbids them to speak out against the Holy Roman Empire. See? Forbids them to talk on the Holy Roman Empire. Because if they do, well, that they're, you know, they're Christians too, right? Because they use the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Well, if they're for us, they're not against us. But the truth of the matter is Jesus also said that there are many who are going to come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus is going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. And breaking the law, breaking the commandments, you know, being, you know, Jesus said, call no man father. They call every man father. They just don't care what Jesus had to say. If Jesus isn't precious to you, he's precious to the Father. He's precious to his heavenly Father. He's precious. And he's precious to the angels who are observing this whole thing. So if you're sitting here calling people Father, and Jesus said not do it, or being like the heathen with repetitious prayer, and you sit there with rosary beads praying the same prayer over and over again, and Jesus said not to do it. And, of course, you don't know that you're not supposed to do it because your religious leaders tell you it's okay to do. Look at what you're going to get left behind with Islam. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? You want to get left behind with them? Do you want to end up in the Nazi Germany that you created for yourselves? It's Haman has built his own gallows because God is taking the Protestants out of the world. He's going to take the Christians out of the world who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and who do not offend. The angels are coming to separate all things that offend and do iniquity. Jesus said he shall send them forth in the last days, and at the end of the age, at the end of the world, he shall send them forth. The STS 75, right? Jesus said there'll be signs in the heavens above and on the earth below. Well, I'm giving you the earth below interpretations of the signs. You can look up and you can see NASA's videos and the STS and those things, and they're saying that they're demons now. Now the demons are calling the angels demons. Well, we know that they're not demons because I know what they are, because they're revealing themselves in the crop circles that are pointing the Bible passages. I don't think demons will be opening up the Word of God for people. Do you? Do you think Satan wants people to read the Word of God and find Jesus Christ and get saved? Is that it for you? Or are you just so sold out to this whore and the harlot, you've ingested her poison, you've taken on her infectious disease there, you've got the crabs or whatever it is, that just keeps you from seeing the truth. Well, James Bond likes his martini shaken and not stirred. I never doubted the enemy would not try to add confusion to the mix. The unsaved read my blog. That means so does he and his minions. I knew very well that other pictures were out there. I'd be a fool to think there was only the one. You would think that the last one our adversary would want to look like a fool would be me. It would be so reflect upon his great day. You can see he has no control over his minions since moving out of Rome and discovering the trap we made here in America.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say.
His attack of me in the movie Oblivion was totally uncalled for. Let me tell you something about the movie Oblivion. And there's one naughty bit there. You see the backside of a woman when she goes swimming in the pool. But listen. I took offense to it, but you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, wow, what a great character. Bobblehead Bob was the only character who didn't have any lines, but he was the supporting character in the entire show. And he dies, but there's no replacement for him. See, the others are replaceable. See, the others were all clones. See, but the bobblehead was not a replacement. You know, he was the only bobblehead available there, you know, Bobblehead Bob. And we know that the evil entity in the movie Oblivion was a inverted pyramid. So I know it's a direct attack on me, and I know that, you know, that the guy who's the star of the show, you know, he gets that whole Scientology. He's a Scientologist. He's being motivated and moved by the Thetans. The Thetans are moving him. And he's making a movie as a mockery against what I have found is the truth. You know, Tom Cruise plays in that movie, the Oblivion, you know, and he's this, you know, goes around telling everybody how Xenu loves you. So when I saw the movie and I seen it, I kind of applauded. I said, wow, that's great. The devil attacked me, you know, and he did it so subtly. You know, but he's attacked me out in the crop circles, too. He's made alien things. He's got angry because, you know, God pulled a fast one on him. God gave him a Christian. He didn't expect a Christian. He expected, just like everybody else, behind the pulpits and in the world. He expected what you all expected. It's never what you expect. It's never what you thought it would be. You thought evil ruled for us. No, in order to win this, God must choose the man and make the enemy drive him after he's done steering. See, God drives first, just like he did in heaven when he was in Lucifer, the light bearer. He was a light bearer, but he was not the light. Jesus, the essence of Christ, was in Lucifer throughout the congregation. So, given the light, but I struggle because, you know, I'm not a bloody man. I'm not a person who, you know, I don't want to see people die, but I know that God's given me that authority. I know that God's given me that authority. I know that that's there. Because I know that my Father in heaven needs a revival and a harvest. And I know that the enemy wants his temple built more than anything. He wants to have his temple built, and he wants peace so that he can get it built. He can't do peace. So God sends him the peace plan, which is going to cost him everything he has and everything he's been saving for this peace plan. And even what he has isn't enough. He needs more. Then I'm going to need more to do his peace plan than what he has there in his coffers. So he's going to have to figure out a way to get me the more, because I'm going to need more to make his peace plan happen. And as I make his peace plan happen and I bring it all together for him so that he can sit in the temple, he needs a body. And while God says he gets the one body, and well, if Abel gets the second chance, well, he's just going to have to sit on the sidelines and wait for his turn. You see, God has there's always a safety mechanism. There's always a fail-safe in the system. There's always a fail-safe in any system that's destructive. And God's fail-safe system is to put Abel at the end of the age to bring in his harvest. That's the fail-safe. But the same man is going to do both jobs. Make no mistake about it. God must punish sin. God must punish those who rebel against him. Because we can't allow those people to come into heaven and make heaven what is happening right here, right now. You love weapons, you love playing weapons of war, you love playing bombs and blowing people up, you love killing. Well, you show us where you want to spend eternity. We obviously know where you want to spend eternity. He is attacking me in the movie Oblivion was totally called for. Okay, as for the Skull and Bones pictures, none of them gained as much more attention as the one I originally interpreted. It was placed out there for a reason. Wouldn't you like to see George Bush Jr.'s Skull and Bones picture or John Kerry's? You would then see who it is who intends to survive in Holocaust II, the remake. They're building Nazi Germany right over here. And there's proof of that. It would be aptly called Adolf Hitler was a pansy.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
When the money runs out, a society, because I'm telling you, the next world leader that they're raising up that's coming in, it's going to be the creature himself, without restraints, without restrictions. He's going to rule and reign without any interference from God other than the 144,000. And he's going to be killing Christians throughout the entire process of the new world order after the church is gone. It's after the church is taken out of the earth, because the Bible says that day shall not come unless that man of perdition rises up. You must allow him to rise up. You need to point the world and say, look, we warned you. God said he was coming, and there he is. Right? Okay. When the money runs out, society must trim the fat. When the resources run out, only the ones on the very top will survive. And guess who's not on the very top, people? Our nation was we the people, and now it is turned upside down, and it's become the Satan system with the ruling class at the top, which happen to be all Roman Catholics. Oh, Ooh, who knew that was coming? And then everybody's back at the bottom again. They turned the system upside down on us. They destroyed America. We the people. You don't have any say in who you vote for. Whoever you vote for is still is a puppet to the money, to the people who have the money and control the strings. And who do you think that is if everybody at the top of the hill is Roman Catholic? Who do you think whose money's running the show? See, the spirit world is not as smart as they think they are. The demons are not as intelligent as they thought they were. In fact, I'm tripping them up left and right. And they don't like it. And so they'll even speak out against me in ministry, in ministers. If darkness is in you, just how great is that darkness? You want to lead the world to Jesus Christ? Then God has a plan. The older photographs begin to surface more and more after I mentioned that the CIA was founded in 1947 and their main place to recruit was Yale University. There was a time you could search skull and bones and only have the one photograph show up. Demons are not intelligent. That's why they're demons. They're not intelligent. They gave up heaven to follow their leader there. You know, their leader who keeps convincing everyone he's going to win. He's got everybody convinced that he's going to beat God on this thing. And it's like, you know, when he gets all the weapons of war pointed at Christ at the end of the age during a battle, it's going to be like throwing firecrackers at a bulldozer. Do you see that? Do you understand that? You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to teach us that we need to honor and respect his commandments, his laws. We need to put our free will into his will and do as God says in order to have a utopian society. You must have a leader in order to have a society. God wants to be that leader. Jesus Christ, Son of God, wants to be that leader for this society, for this world, for his new world. He's coming to earth to set up his everlasting, his kingdom for 1,000 years, millennial kingdom, and then we're going to have new heavens and new earths. We know that. That's what the word teaches. I do not go back on what I originally revealed. It is always 15 men and a grandfather clock with its hands exactly on 2000 o'clock. It was founded as a seminary, so Bible was mandatory. Yale was built because some felt Harvard was becoming too liberal in their theology. The reason why Harvard donated his books to Boston and they started Harvard University. John Harvard was a minister. He came from Oxford University. He was imported from England. But a doctrine was surfacing in England that they were afraid was going to come over here to the shores of America. And they knew it was coming from the Harlot's Church. They knew it was being championed by the Harlot and trying to deceive. The devil was always working through this whore of Revelation. She was always working through this false, phony church who was pretending to be a Christian church. And so they put and tried to tell everybody that the resurrection had taken place in 70 AD. It's called the Preterist Doctrine. It was a doctrine that started out in England. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time when, you know, when they had to convince everyone that they weren't the whore of Revelation. You can read a book called Last Days Madness, and right up there in the front introduction, the guy tells you he was a Catholic, and some Protestant came up to him and showed him this thing from, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. In the Hal Lindsey video, it talks about the Late Great Planet Earth. It's a good movie, you know, but they're all trying to find and calculate the Antichrist. Well, God never told you to go looking for the Antichrist. He was going to, you know, I always told people when I was walking with him and I was saved and I had given my life to Christ, and the topic of the Antichrist came up, I always said, he doesn't know who he is until God reveals it to him. He doesn't, and God's laughing. I'm sure God's got a great, God does have a great, he's laughing as I'm telling this to people, I'm sure. I remember my first time in an airplane. I'm looking down at all the houses and all the people, you know, looking like little ants as we lift off. The first time I've ever been in a jet plane, I was married. I was going to visit my father-in-law. And I questioned God. I says, how are you going to win all these people to yourself? You know, I had no idea the role that I play in this, you know, that lifting me up. And as he lifted me up, I'd point to the one who's doing the lifting. There's a crop circle with a butterfly man lifting a natural man up out of the earth. And why is he doing this? Because of honor and respect. I respected his teachings. I didn't break his commandments. I honored his word. I didn't call any man father. And when I was tasked to call a man father at a Catholic church, at a Catholic college, I had become a born-again Christian, and I was cleaning the coffee, and I said, yes, sir, no, sir. And the old priest came up to me, and he says, well, you can call him father. And I turned to that senior priest, and I said, sorry, but Jesus said to call no man father. See, it's standing up. It's standing up for the teachings of Christ. See, God's looking and measuring. They're measuring you. They're weighing you. They're seeing where you are in the fine line of how are you going to respect and honor God. It's a test. It's always been a test. Yale was, okay, liberal in their theology. So Harvard, Yale breaks off from Harvard because, well, they think they're liberal. And they start up Yale. And they have the secret societies and all of this stuff. And, well, we know that most of the presidents who turn and sold us out down the river for the one world order, the one world government, and we're going to give it to them. I mean, we're going to give you the one world order. We're going to do it for you. We're going to bring you peace. We're going to bring you one world order that you're looking for, but it's not going to be with guns and it's not going to be with bombs.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
The Council on Foreign Relations, known as the CFR, an organization publicly sworn to destroy American national sovereignty and usher in a tyrannical world police state, could not contain their glee on September 12th, the day after the tragic attack. They announced their new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order. World order.
But we'll do it for you. Because we know, as Protestants, how to do peace. And we'll be glad to do it for you. But one thing is for certain, when it comes to secret societies, Harvard is a winner. These two colleges are always competing against each other. I just want you to know, when it comes to secret societies, Harvard wins hands down. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. There's no secrets. And even though Yale's doing this, they know this. They're a seminary. They have this secret society. They're doing these things. Why? Because they know that the man that God sends into the world in the last days, it says he will understand dark sentences. God's sending a king into the earth, Daniel 8:23-24, who will understand dark sentences. He will destroy wonderfully the mighty and the holy people. Well, if a good theologist, you know, and most people forget these things and go through, but it only takes one generation to remove the truth away from your mind, right? Now they're starting to say the Holocaust never really happened. It only takes but a couple of generations to erase that anything ever really happened. But the Holocaust did happen, and they're doing it. They're going to do it over here again. But the scripture says, you know, wonderfully he destroys the mighty and the holy people. Well, there's nothing wonderful about destroying holy people. If you study it, you'll understand that the descriptor here is wicked mighty and wicked holy people, because God is in love with the world. Do you know you will rightly divide the word? Everything is about bringing people to the foot of the cross. It's all about bringing people to Jesus and getting them under the blood and getting them filled with the Holy Spirit. It's all about that. It was Henry L. Stimson in 1888, Governor General of the Philippines. Now, he was a U.S. bonesman now. He was a skull and bones guy. U.S. Secretary of War, U.S. Secretary of State, who encouraged Truman to drop the bomb. It ended the war and encouraged the devil to gain access to the greatest weapons of mass destruction possible. It was time for him to make America his. Israel became a nation, and the clock began counting down. Using people who are not born again was always easy for the devil to do. He came over, and his church wanted these weapons of mass destruction. Why? Because they can use them to try and tame their beast. Who is their beast? The woman who's riding the beast? It's Islam.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say?
She's writing this. It's not just Islam, it's the world system. It's the entire world system. She's created this disaster. She's created this boondoggle, and now she's trying to try and ride it and tame it. God's the only one who can come in and tame it. God's the only one that can bring peace to the situation. And so he does what? He sends his spirits in, like he did with Lucifer. Lucifer was the light bearer. He chooses one of us to carry his lamps that made these crop circles that reveal the truth of these things and give me the lamps. Now, am I being accurate about all of it? Am I 100% on the thing? Well, we'll find out from those people who took the photographs. We'll see what they say the 16 hands mean when the time comes. Who's Who with the Skull and Bones is a link there. And you can take a look at all the names of all the great people who attended the Skull and Bones, all these people. But, you know, we have a secret society ourselves. The Protestants have a secret society. You never knew this, did you? You never realized that God has a secret society for you as well. That's always been there. They answered to the crown, mostly. They began in Europe. They were originally called the Templars, the Knights Templars, who saw people safely into the Holy Land. We're going to need to waken them up and rise them up again, because they're going to need to do the same thing. This time the Holy Land we're going to is what? Heaven. The resurrection. So we need to awaken the sleeping giant. We need to awaken these angels who are out there who have been good at their craft. They're good at what they do. They're good carpenters. They're good electricians. They're good plumbers. They're good, you know, roofers, builders. You know, this is what they live for. It's they're perfect in their jobs. We're going to fund them to help build our churches and take in the harvest. They've been there. They've been hidden secretly, and the devil has pointed the finger to them and called them evil. And you bought it. You bought it because you don't understand what God is doing. Because, well, God's hiding himself in darkness. Well, the enemy can come out in the light. And they say, well, the best thing to do is to hide. If you want to hide something, you hide it right in front of people. You put it right in front of people and they can't see it if you want to hide it. So the enemy comes out with his hands and fingers, and he's big, and he's, you know, everybody's precious and got all these jewels all over them and these stones, and they're wealthy, and you know, they're carrying the statues and they're carrying the Marys, and everybody's saying, oh, it must be God's church, look how big they are.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
That's exactly what the half-hearted and the fallen angels said about Lucifer. Oh, look at that, he's like a god, let's follow him, we can see him. And so because of all the jewels and all the gems and all the stones, people followed him. And, well, when he got taken away, he had to go and collect them back up to himself. And voila, God sat back and let his church divide in order for his church to become united so that we could point to him and set people free in the last days. Now, this is not a, you know, this is not a tech. If God would have spoken out, Jesus would speak out against the religious hypocrisy in his day. I speak out in my day. We know that people aren't going to be one to Christ using idolatry. We just know that that's not going to happen. And Jesus is on his way back, and we need to bring peace into the world, and only the Protestants can do it. I'm going to do this topic next, I think, because I heard it at church, my pastor gave the message today about walking in the Spirit. Being able to walk in the Spirit. Spirit walking. You know, let's all be in the Spirit. Let's all walk in the Spirit. Because with this, walk in the Spirit and pray all the time. It's true. We should always be in prayer. We should always have our eyes open. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're a person who's spiritual, if you're a spiritual individual, then you have discernment. Now, he preaches on walking in the Spirit, but the fact is that when I've talked to him, he said things like, well, pyramids will confuse people. Or that God doesn't know, God hadn't had his hands involved in numbering the Bible. It was done by the monks. And then hearing things like, you know, that there'll be a falling away. He says he doesn't know which way. I ask him, who's the whore of Revelation? He doesn't know who that is. We're so close to the end of time. He's walking in the Spirit. He's walking with God, but he can't answer the most basic, simple questions of what's going on around him. He didn't even know that they were building caskets in America. He didn't know that they had taken down all the, they converted all the military bases and gave them to FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Authority. You know, but they're not going to be used for what you think they're going to be used for. They're going to be used for what these coffins are being built for. You know, and I'm trying to explain this to him. I'm trying to talk to him about kingdom things, what God's trying to do to bring people to the foot of the cross. And he's in the Spirit so much, he's text messaging while I'm talking to him. Yeah, okay. You know, he's walking in the Spirit, so much in the Spirit. He's so heavenly minded, he's become no earthly good. He doesn't see what's going on around him. He doesn't see them building the new Nazi Germany here in America. He doesn't see what God is doing. See, walking in the Spirit means you have a relationship with God. It means your eyes are open. You're seeing what's happening. And you're excited about it because, well, you know that Jesus is on his way back. And you want to bring everybody that you can to the foot of the cross. Now, you can walk in the Spirit and do all that. But walking in the Spirit means seeing the truth. God walks in the fullness of truth. God's looking for those who know the truth. And the truth was laying out there, and he can't see it. He can't see the effigy of the Son of God. He can't see that God, that the enemy said he would make the Son of God his pet, and he can't see the fact that God said, I'll take the dust of the ground and rise it up to worship me, as he sees man wearing the stones going into the tabernacle. If you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to be a part of the Spirit, then you've got to have your eyes open. You got to be able to understand what's going on around you. You know, you can't say that the enemy's not approaching, the enemy's not attacking. If you're going to be a watchman, that means walking in the Spirit. If you're a watchman, you have to walk in the Spirit. You have to walk with God. You have to see what the enemy's doing. You have to have a vision of what he's up to. And yet, he doesn't have that, but he wants us all to walk in the Spirit. Everybody walk in the Spirit. I bring him the information of what God wants to do to bring in the harvest, and he's telling me, well, let's walk in the Spirit, but he doesn't want to share what God's doing out in England. The Spirit. The Spirit is building these things, not me. It's Spirit. People will tell you that they see balls of light, lamps of light. Well, who's the Father of lights? Who's the Father of lights? Who was the light bearer? Lucifer was the light bearer. He doesn't get the lights no more. He doesn't get the lamps anymore. Jesus had all the lights, the lamps. He was the fullest, the presence of God was full within Christ. So he sends his lamps back here. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to explain this, and he just doesn't get it. He wants to walk in the Spirit? You know, anybody, like I said, the baker, you know, the baker in prison with Joseph. A lot of people are bakers. There's a lot of bakers. Bakers, a lot of bakers prepare food, but there's only one who can see exactly what the king is doing, right? Only one has a close relationship. That's the chief butler. And so, yeah, God uses one man to do both jobs. The 24-hour time system, there's a picture of the Skull and Bones. And you see how they're sitting there? There's a short guy, there's a tall guy, short guy, tall guy. You know, and look at how they're just disheveled there. I mean, it's, you know, not even classy. And the 322 isn't even listed here on this one. This is an old one. And it comes up to several other photographs that have been done, but that none of them as pristine and as perfect as the one that George Bush stands in by that grandfather clock. It just spoke to me in so many levels, and God began to just reveal to me that, yeah, the Antichrist has come. When Jesus came to me and began to show me, I was right on the $700 billion. They actually bought the White House. They actually put their man in But George Bush Jr. was the last Christian elected president that we'll have in the White House until God puts his man there. And the way to put God's man is in there is to let the Queen of England know that what her crop circles say. And the fail-safe, again, is not just what the crop circles say, but I have a word given to me by God for her. And when she gets the word, she'll know that I am the one that God has chosen to lead the church to victory in these last days. That I will bring people to the foot of the cross. I will bring millions of people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when I sign that peace agreement, whatever's left behind, well, that's that, you know, that's why we take a bullet to the head. You know, God's leaving them behind with a leader who doesn't have need any brains. They don't need a leadership with any brains if they don't follow what we're doing here. When the church is taken out of the earth and those who are left remain behind will then realize where they were headed. That they were offending God. They were offenses to God. They were mocking God, and God doesn't like to be mocked. He doesn't like Santa Claus. He doesn't like preterism. He doesn't like things that offend him. He doesn't like it when people say there's going to be a falling away and it's out of the church. It shows, it calls him almost impotent. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, ministers are saying there's going to be a falling away out of church. Well, you've already decided that God is impotent, that he's unable to save. Well, my God can save to the utmost. That's what I believe. You believe he can't. If you say that the falling away is out of the church, it never said which way. But those of you who have chosen out of the church miss the mark, because Jesus won't allow one to fall from his hands, even the backsliders. And even the ministers who are leaving the pulpits right now and coming into the world, that's a good thing, because it's nice to have believers around the unsaved for when the time comes. But God must judge sin. He must judge wickedness. What makes 1947... the 24-hour time system has its origins in the Egyptian astronomical system of Tachans and has been used for centuries by scientists, astronomers, navigators, and urologists. There are many surviving examples of clocks built using the 24-hour system, including the famous Urge in Prague and the Shepherd Gate clock at Greenwich. The source I got this from is Wiki, by the way, on a 24-hour clock. What makes the 1947 one stand out is George Bush, son of Prescott Bush, who worked in the Harriman Bank, who financed the German war machine and was brought up on charges during World War II. Prescott Bush was brought up on charges because they were dealing with the enemy, but when they began World War II, when Hitler began, they were financing his war because it was an attack against the communism. You see, they were going up against communism. And we funded that. And then we found out what he was doing, and then we went to war with him when he thought he was going to take over the world. Antichrist. He was raised in a parochial school. He was Catholic. He made his confirmation. That's all he had to do. Right? Now he can do whatever he wants to do. Don't have to follow the word of God. You don't have to do the teachings of Christ. You don't have to obey any of God's words. Just do whatever the Catholic Church tells you to do. And of course, nobody does. Who wants all that work? I mean, they make you work for what God wants to give you freely. They're just like Laban, right? Laban was an idolater. He made Jacob work twice as hard for the woman he loved. That's what idolaters do. They make you work twice as hard. And the sad thing is that you're not getting in, because you're trying to get in on by your works and by your religion, and not by your relationship to Christ. If you have a true relationship with Christ, if you were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be at odds with one another. We'd be agreeing with one another. See, because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to do rebellion against God, then you're going to be in rebellion against me. You're going to blame me. You're going to come against me because you want to hang on to your phony baloney religion. You want to hang on to your idolatry. You want to continue to offend the Jews. You want to continue to offend the Muslims. You want to continue to offend people. And then you want, especially God's being offended by this whole thing, because his son was crucified once for all. He said at the cross it was finished, and you continue the same sacrifice, and they don't deny it's the same sacrifice. And they have this power. You know, God says, be careful of the last days. There's going to be, you know, great signs and wonders. They have a power that they can pull Christ out of heaven and put him in this wild white wafer and stuff him in your mouth. Now, I've gone and put the, let's see, the story of the Harriman Bank here. If it were to place a, if you were to place a shadow government within a government to recreate the Fuhrer's dream, the Bush family was the crack in the door. Held over his head was the fact that he was in the CIA when Kennedy was assassinated. His boss, Alan Dulles, overseen the investigation of the Warren Commission. Dulles was fired by JFK over sending guns to the anti-Castro movement. Kennedy was trying to prevent a war, and the CIA was trying to create one, as they always do. Mother Church must be served. It is her money in the Rothschilds' coffers of war, and they are the spies working for the banking systems and the banking cartels. This is outright thuggery. This is criminal. This is a crime. They're saying that they're protecting Americans. No, they're trying to destroy America. This is thuggery. This is organized crime at its finest. Major stockholders like major profits, the war machine. This is thuggery. Our government has fallen by the waysides, and it's time for the people to rise up and realize it. And the Protestants are the only ones who have the peace plan. Well, the person who has the peace plan. Because I love Jesus Christ and I'm a Protestant. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I believe in Pentecostalism, but I also believe that anyone who will bow their knee and confess Jesus as Lord, make him Savior, and invite him into their heart. Now, the Holy Spirit's there. Some have gifts, some don't have gifts. You know, but we're not to judge them if they produce fruit, if they're producing fruit, right? If they're confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, if they're showing their obedience to God by going to church, attending church, and giving of their tithes and offerings, and showing how they respect the commandments and laws of God. But those who don't respect the commandments and laws of God go around putting stumbling blocks in the front, in the eyes of the blind. Stumbling blocks. And when I'm talking stumbling blocks, I'm talking about putting statues of Mary in your front yard. I'm talking about putting idols around. Stumbling blocks. Keeping people from finding Christ. The true Christ of Scripture, who would not allow for that. He came and died for the sins of the world, for those who broke the commandments. The second commandment. They go around breaking the second commandment. Jesus said, those who break the least commandment shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, they didn't go after the least. We know that. The Rothschilds got their wealth by lying to the British, saying, who actually won the Napoleon War? The Rothschilds had spies. And they seen France because it was important to them to know who was going to outcome in the war. Whoever won the war was going to win the continent. And whoever won the continent was going to take care of the money. And he was a banker and he was interested in whose money was going to be used. So when he found out Napoleon had lost the war, well, before the British found out, he went and told the British Napoleon had won the war. And so the British started selling off what they had, their holdings, and he began to buy it up pennies on the dollar. When the news finally was printed and reached the British Empire, the British people, their money was devalued, and he owned it all. He owned the British economy. He, you know, was now the banker and loaning you money. He bought up your earnings a penny on the pound in Britain. He was selling out. He lied to the economy. He lied. And wouldn't you know that, you know, Vatican doesn't care about morality? They don't care. They looked at that and said, wow, we got to get this guy working for us. You know, we're not making it on these trinkets and these dimes. You know, we're not selling enough scapulars. We're not selling enough indulgences. We're not selling enough, you know, pieces of the cross, or what do they call them? If you have an item from the Holy Land or something like that, it's going to help you when you walk with God. Whatever they call them there, I don't know. The word is relics. It's just another form of idolatry. People putting their faith in something other than God in a relationship with Christ. How hard it is to speak and to talk to Jesus. How hard is it to thank him for every moment of the day? How hard is it to invite him to sit in your car or sit in your chariot or ride your horse with you? How hard is that? They soul lost. They're trying to make money. They're trying to be rich and wealthy and powerful. And what are they doing with their rich and wealth? They're not giving it to anybody. They're sucking it out of the world, and that's why at the end of the age we're coming into the mark, because they've sucked the wealth out of the world. Now they want to put the mark, and they're laughing. Oh, we're not the Antichrist. Oh, the mark of the beast. Ha 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 ha. We're not the devils, you know. But they are. They are. They're the ones responsible for what's happening to our world. Their vast wealth sits within the corporations of America. They sit in investments. And they invest in America using their money that's in the Rothschilds bank. The bank, the investment bankers are investing in the war machine. Because it's the most profitable thing around. Think about it for a minute now, right? You got factories building weapons. It's being paid for with your tax dollars. They're investing in this machine, these war bonds. They're investing in this. And every time they build weapons, they sell them to other countries, to other nations. They sell them out to other people that we've got to go and fight later on. Oh, we got to fight with. Right? It's your tax dollars. And then after they've trained them, they educated them and taught them using our tax dollars, now we got to go over there and fight them again. You know, because now they've gotten violent and they've raised up and stuff. The bomb costs whatever it costs to make, or whatever it costs to make a plane or a jet, whatever it costs to make these weapons of mass destruction. And it's their money who's sitting through and working through the system. When the housing market collapsed in 2008, it was them taking the money and not buying them papers and holding back and not buying them notes, leaving somebody with a hot potato, taking the $700 billion to buy one White House. John McCain made the deal right there in the Saddleback debates. He made it right in front of millions of Christians. So when you talk about walking in the Spirit, do you talk about seeing what's going on around you? Right there in front of millions of Christians, it took place. They sold out the GOP. They put a man in the White House, and now they have no control over him. Thank you, CIA. Thank you for taking away our President John F. Kennedy. That was a great coup right there. But yeah, he's ruthless. He kills his own. They kill their own. They don't care. They're sending millions of Catholics to hell every day. They don't care. They don't care that it's not the way to receive Jesus Christ. They don't know how to receive Christ. They've never received Christ. Christ ain't part of their church. And he's taking us all the way here to America to show us that. So you sit there and you can say, oh, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. No, but I'm trying to set them free. Pastor don't want to set them free. He wants to set, you know, we'll win others who, you know, one and two, you know, if they want to come, that's fine, you know. No, we want to set them all free for first resurrection. We want to have an exodus out of their church into the Protestant church. We want them to see the truth of what's going on. We want them to open their eyes. And as they're opening their eyes, the world will open their eyes too. Putin already knows who's behind the Rothschild banking system. Putin knows that. He told his people, don't put money in the Rothschild bank. He's aware of it. He's not a fool. He knows what's going on. So does the Crown of England. So do those people who are in the high-powered positions. They know who they're fighting against. But what can they say, right? Because they've got to worry about the CIA coming in and creating wars and battles and fights. You know, these people are ruthless. They just go and lie and spies. And they think they're going to get in. The Bible says that, you know, you're the father of the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. These people who are spies are liars. And what's going to end up happening with them in eternity? They don't care about their eternity. They want to go to hell. They have no idea what the conceptual idea of hell is. Jesus told us a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. It's there. It's real. Because that you have to have a place to throw the trash. You know, even in our own society, we have prisons to put those who are violent and, you know, to try to attack us in our societies. But even prisons are becoming popular. Now crime has become a wealthy investment for people. You know, crime pays. because it employs people. So that's what they want. They want crime so they can play, you know, pay for jobs. It's sad. It's all your tax dollars. All because they didn't preach the Word of God. All because they had to keep the Word of God hidden away from the masses. All because they didn't understand God's Word. Because they weren't born again. Because they weren't saved. Because they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit, Pastor, here's my suggestion to you. Open your eyes. So you want to walk in the Spirit. Did you know that when Daniel read the handwriting on the wall, the kingdom of Babylon was divided between the Medes and the Persians. He read the handwriting, one handwriting on the wall. Well, there's 200 circles that point to Bible passages here. And if you want to walk in the Spirit, you tell me what it says and what hour we're in and what is it that God wants to divide the world between, light and dark. See, so don't say that, you know, if you want to walk in the Spirit, then the Spirit should be saying, Bobby, why don't you come and speak and show us what these mean so that we can understand what God wants to do in these last days to bring in the harvest. Because I walk in the Spirit. And I can see that God is doing something in your life. But I want you to be the way I want you to be because, well, I make and mold people. Not God. Now, he wouldn't really say that, but I mean, I'm just trying to walk in the Spirit. Was that walking in the Spirit when you voted for Mitt Romney and you were going to put a member of a cult in the presidential office whose religion teaches that he'll be a god someday? We got 12 million Mormons. What did you want God to do? Have to rescue 28 million Mormons? Didn't think that their church was going to grow leaps and bounds after you put Mitt Romney in the White House? Oh, you had to vote for somebody. You had to vote for the lesser of the two evils. But I came to you 4 years before that, and I gave you the crop circles, and you never once talked to me. So I'm thinking when you go to your 100-year reunion, you should say goodbyes to them. Because you keep saying how you're going to be raised up in the last days, and the Bible tells me that Jesus shall send forth his angels into the harvest fields, and they'll separate all things that offend and do iniquity. And I don't think there's anything more iniquitous than mocking God and mocking his word, telling him everybody how you know the word so well and how you're walking in the Spirit, but you can't see a dang thing that's going on around you. You got blinders on, Pastor. Take them off. Take a look at what's going on in your world. The other thing is that you just, you know, you're saying you're going to be raised up. Yes, you will if you die before Christ comes, because that's the only way you're going to make it into the first resurrection, because you're an offense to God. He's trying to open up the word for the world to see, and you're doing the Catholic thing. You're keeping it away from people because you're secretly a closet Catholic. You somehow have sworn an oath to protect and defend these wicked, horrible people. And that isn't God at all. That's not walking in the Spirit. It's showing them that they're wrong and in error and putting them on the right path. So when you were in Spirit, when you voted for Mitt Romney, you wanted to see revival of our nation. You wanted to see patriotism flow through America. We'd all be talking about God and putting our hands on our heads and say, one nation under God. Well, in Mitt Romney's mind, that one day he will be a god and have his own planet. I don't think the devil would be roaring on the floor laughing at that one. As the church, they begin getting more Mormons to join their church. They're the youngest group in the, you know, Bible says, if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. You wanted to make him president. So don't sit there and tell me you want to walk in the Spirit and then sit there and text message when I'm telling you what God wants to do at the end of the age, you hypocrite. Now, the idolaters and the people who are offending God so frequently, whom you never speak out against or never try to set free, well, you know, and they're going to get left behind. Hey, they've built their own gallows. They destroyed the world themselves unless they repent and make first resurrection. So there's this. There's the beauty of it. If they repent, if they see what they've done, if they understand why, where they went wrong, and they repent and start destroying their idols and getting ready for Christ, I can take most of the world out of here with me on the first resurrection. Because when the world sees what is happening, they'll begin to realize that something major is coming down. But I got pastors who are party poopers. They don't want to have fun. They want to have fun destroying Satan's kingdom. They want to sit there and bite their nails. You know? Well, they're not biting their nails. They're not worried about what's going on, you know, because they don't know what's going on. So they don't worry. All they know is about Antichrist, Antichrist, Antichrist. Well, God has to rise up a man to do what? To punish the wicked. He's got to punish the wicked because, well, he can't allow the wicked to come in. They must get to the foot of the cross and get under their blood. And we must let them know that. So if you want to keep people from getting into these, you know, death chambers during the tribulation, we need to march now. We need to rise up now. We need to stop, you know, we're going to start telling our pastors what's going on now. We're going to start bringing people to the cross now. The time is short. If we don't have a Christian president in the White House in 2016, we're going to lose the harvest. And the only way to get that to happen is that we need to take England first. The oldest shall serve the younger. And when we get the fires going, both of our countries will come together as one big nation. But Jesus Christ is coming to rule all the nations. George Bush Sr. said this, and this is a quote, said this to a news reporter, "If the American people knew what we had done, they would string us up from the lamppost." George H.W. Bush. "They have been building Nazi Germany over here into America, FEMA camps, putting up these coffins, getting ready to kill millions of people and assassinate them. And who's behind it all? The same people who gave you Germany. Who destroyed Germany, the same people who destroyed the Mayans, the same people who destroyed the Incans. They're destroying the Americans as well. They are called Roman Catholics, and they are not Christians at all. It is a ritual to desecrate, see, for the skull and bones, it's a ritual to desecrate famous graves as part of their initiation. The new, they did that with John Wesley. This, one of them, they dug up his bones. And they dug up his bones and they burnt his bones. That was the Roman Catholic Empire because they printed up the Bible. He gave people the word to read to set them free. And, well, the Catholic Church didn't like that. It is a ritual to desecrate famous graves as part of their initiation. The New Haven tomb is rumored in Yale's own magazine to hold the skull of Pancho Villa and Che Guevara, as well as Prescott Bush's credit with Geronimo's bones. The message is clear. Nothing and no one is sacred. There is one skull and bones they will never have, only because he left with him. He is Jesus Christ." Yeah, Jesus left. Not one bone was broken. He took his whole body with him and was raised into heaven and sits at the right hand of his Father. And he's coming back again, just as he promised. We see this picture here with the Nazi-like tree. You know, and they're trying to make you think it's the Bush family that's behind all of this Nazi agenda. But it's not. Remember that George Bush Sr. was tapped on the shoulders to be part of the CIA when he was a youngster. When he was a young man. And he was there. He was even running guns to the anti-Castro movement through Zapata Oil. He had a Zapata Oil corporate and he was trying to run guns on his boat. He had a boat. And it was named after his wife. He has a nickname for his wife. I forget what Barbara Bush's nickname was. But he named his boat her nickname, Babs. He used to call it Babs. And named the boat Babs. And ran guns to the anti-Castro movement in the CIA. But he was in Dallas, Texas at the time of the shooting. And, well, they don't want you to look too close. Well, the thing is now it's a gun over his head. Now, if you know, you can't spill the beans. Now you're in on this. You know, you tell on us. We blame you. Now, let me tell you, I'm not here to condemn the Bush family. I love the Bush family. They're great people. They're wonderful people. They're people who are victims of a bad group of other people who are mobsters pretending to be Christians. They kill and then they go and ask for forgiveness, you know, and they do the Stations of the Cross and they go out and kill again. Never changed, never changed heart, never changed mind. The Word of God not in their heart, and they're thinking their religious acts are going to get them to heaven, and they're not. Your works don't get you into heaven. If you're any kind of a Christian, you understand that. But they make all their religious things seem to be important and that they're all holy. They name everything holy, then it's holy. Well, Batman's Robin used to call everything holy. It wasn't holy. Just because you call it holy. The picture below the picture of the Nazi swastika of the trees, it's more like this. It's more like this. This is not actual, you know, in factual, but it's close to what I want you to see, what's really going on. The people at the top of the hill have always looked down on us as being heretics because we don't believe in their Pope. We don't worship the Pope as God on the earth, and neither does God. That is not his church. That has never been his church. I'm proving to you that that's not his church, that it is actually the church of the powers of darkness trying to destroy everything they have and everything that we got. They want to consume it to themselves because, well, who's going to pick on them? They sit there at the top of the hill, sitting as queen. Oh, who shall touch me? Who's going to hurt me? Look, I sit as queen. We know what the Bible says. America is becoming like Japan. The government has pushed the ministries out for 400 years. In Japan, the missionaries were out 400 years before the bomb dropped. We had missionaries in Japan winning people to Jesus Christ, but 400 years before the bomb fell, the government told the missionaries to leave. It was forbidden to preach the gospel of Christ in Japan. And there was still a small remnant of Christians among them, but the majority became his. The majority became the devil's. They went to hell in an instant. And don't you think he wanted to get his hands on that power? Nagasaki, Hiroshima. That's excited him. That's why Hitler shot himself and killed himself. That's why Hitler lost. The devil didn't need him anymore. He wants America. Because he can get his fingers on the buttons that can destroy many lives. But what's keeping God from allowing him to do it? Me. There is still a small remnant of Christians among them, not majority. Catholics are now the majority of power in America. They are not born again. It does not make me feel safe at all. How about you, friend? Have you looked at their track record and their treatment of Protestant nations? Traitors always smile as they place the knife into the backs of their enemies. My father's sister was a nun. She loved me growing up. You know, she used to call me Master Robert. She used to write me letters. She used to think. I sent her an invitation to my marriage. I was getting married to a Protestant girl that I met in Salem, New Hampshire. And I sent her an invitation. And she sent me a letter back that said, you know, I wish I had it. It just disgusted me so much that how I had become a traitor. I turned my back on the Holy Roman Church. I turned my back on Jesus to go out to marry a Baptist girl. How dare you invite me to one of these things? How dare you do that? I will not be attending. And this was in 1982. So don't tell me these people have changed their ways. When they're in the minority, they're as gentle as lambs. When they are in the majority, they're wolves and destroyers of nations. They are not born again. It does not make me feel safe at all. How about you for having you locked? Have you looked at the attractor of the treatment of Protestant nations? Traitors always smile as they place the knife into the backs of their mouth. Okay, I've read that. Jesus is coming, so leaders, what do you intend to do? The weapons of mass destruction will be like throwing firecrackers at a bulldozer upon his arrival. I can, however, help you unite as a one-world government so that all the armies can come together, and all the weapons can be turned on him at his arrival. We'll teach him not to give us life, love, and families. Who does he think he is? You can try to destroy the Creator, but I read the end of the story, and the truth is, Haman again builds his own gallows. You'd be better off making the first resurrection if you like being on the winning side of things. I'm being facetious when I say, you know, we'll stop him. We'll show him that he shouldn't give us life. We'll show him he shouldn't have gave us life. He shouldn't have gave us a wife. He shouldn't have gave us a family. He shouldn't have gave us children. We'll show him. He shouldn't have gave us the sky or the stars or the water. We'll show him. It's ridiculous. People going around saying, I don't need God. Well, how do you breathe? I don't need God. What makes you wake up in the morning? I don't need God. Well, sorry, but the whole thing is he wants you to know just how much you do need him. You do need him. If you're going to have a utopian society, you have to have a leader. And he is the only leader in which to trust. He and his son, who loves us so much, that they came and showed their love by placing their son on the cross to die for the sins of the world. So don't say you don't need Christ. Christ is the only one who's going to get us into heaven. We don't have the blood of animals, the blood of sacrifices cannot cleanse us from our sin. Blood of goats and animals cannot cover our sin. The breaking of God's laws, the breaking of his commandments, only the blood of Christ can atone for the sins of the world. Finishing this up and trying to complete my point, in Ezekiel 28:18, God says this about his creature, Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. And therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. To the left of this I have the nuclear bomb, you know, and you know, make sure that you don't pollute the atmosphere with your automobiles now. Make sure that you know, you've got clean carbon coming out of your car. Make sure that, you know, your water's not, you're not contaminating the water with pollutants. You know, make sure you're doing good things to the environment and you're hugging those trees. But, you know, building bombs isn't a problem. Building weapons of mass destruction. Now, the government controls the whole EPA, Environmental Protection Agency and stuff, and your tax dollars is paying that. Well, do you think maybe you're destroying a little bit of the atmosphere with a little some blowing up some bombs and all the diesel fuel that's burned and all these weapons, you know, all these war machines and the boats being burnt up? I mean, is that got anything to do with anything? I mean, does that play out anyhow? How does that play out? But then we see, and I want you to see the richest people on the face of the earth, whose money is in the Rothschilds Bank, who's making all of these weapons, who's taking money out of America's economy so they can put one man into the White House. He is holding a ruby-studded monstrance. They should call it a monster. It'd be the same thing. Studded monstrance made of gold that could build several Protestant Christian orphanages without the fear of harming children. Look at how the rubies and diamonds and studs on that thing. And it's made of gold. And if you look at their clothes, they have gold-lined clothing. They got gold, you know, they got rubies and stuff like that. And Jesus Christ is coming back. Is this what they want to show him when he arrives? Do you care? Do you love the souls of the lost and the damned? Do you love them as much as I do? If you're going to walk in the Spirit, walk with your eyes open and shine light on the darkness so that they will see their sins and come into the kingdom of God. Don't tell me and speak up there in a pulpit and tell me you want us all to be walking, and we should all be walking in the Spirit and be text messaging when I'm trying to show you what God is trying to do. You don't have respect for God's word. You have no respect for what he's doing in England, and you have no respect for me. Well, so if I say goodbye to you, it's goodbye to you. I don't need you for the harvest. I can get other people to fill your shoes. The bakers The baker can be replaced, but the cupbearer to the king is always the cupbearer to the king. Hope you've enjoyed this message. And again, trust in the Lord. Trust in his messenger. Trust in the message. Right? I have no desire to take over the kingdom of God. I have no desire to be a God. I don't want to be a God. Because I don't, the math alone, people, I'm just telling you, just you gotta know the whole periodic table. You gotta know the weights and balances. You gotta know where to put the stars and planets. It's just too tough for me. I would rather let God be God, and I'll just be happy sitting in his lap. Have a good day, and God bless you.